Welcome back to the Roads to Wealth podcast. I'm your host, Josh Rhodes. And by now you'll hear and realize my voice is back. Those of you that have been tuning in the last couple of weeks, you'll have heard that I was having some serious issues, but all is well in the world and I'm back in the saddle. I'm feeling much better. This week for the interview, I had a guest that I've been chasing for over a year now. And it tastes a little bit sweeter when you've had to wait this long. And I was really excited to have him on the show and really jive as well as we did. Josh Elledge is a U.S. Navy veteran, a serial entrepreneur, and truly a master at building and finding systems. You'll hear how Josh and I met right here at the top of the call, but it's a funny story of how rejection turned mentorship, and then we jump right into the meat of things. Josh, back in 2014, launched Up My Influence to help entrepreneurs like himself attract the perfect audiences and grow their authority and influence. Like most entrepreneurs, he found that that initial message or idea, that initial goal is not what they would do forever, quickly discovering that their magic was not in the what he is sort of deemed, quote unquote, better than PR agency. Rather, their true genius is in this area of building a seven-figure B2B sales system with zero paid advertising. I've taken my time here. I've done loads of research, a year's worth of research. And in today's call, we spend time unpacking how he grew that first startup, savingsangel.com, the first successful startup, I guess I should say, from zero to 50 employees and grossed more than $6 million in sales. This is simply by building brand authority, serving audiences in the media. We spent some time talking through how to build your personal or your business brand with free publicity. This man's a guru in this area. And we spend the rest of our time talking about how he runs a daily podcast and seven-figure agency. That's loads of work. What he's done to automate the redundant areas of work so he can maximize the amount of time that he spends in his personal genius. If you know anything about me, I'm a sucker for structure and for mental models. This man, Josh, is an expert at them both. And I do as much as I can to squeeze the juice out of this. And through these three or four core pillars that I've just talked through, Josh has built a business with where he puts every $200 into it, it spits out $4,000 to $6,000. Every $200 at the top of the funnel, $4,000 to $6,000 comes out the bottom. And we're going to find out how he does it here in the next hour. With that, I introduce to you the one and only Josh Elledge.
It's the road of the wealth. Yeah. I do it for health. Yeah. For my kids and my spouse. Yeah. Financially sound. You're the bad dad.
Josh, first and foremost, man, thank you very much for your service and thank you for being here.
Yeah, for sure. Listen, whenever two or more Joshes are united or in a room together, look out. It's Josh squared.
Yeah.
No, but you go, I see like on your list, it says Joshua. Are you Josh or Joshua?
Well, so I feel formally when I'm customer partner facing, when someone sees my name, I want them to see Joshua. But when we get into the conversation, it's 99% of the time Josh, unless I'm in some deep trouble. That's
So I only get called Joshua by my grandma.
Yeah.
So she's an old Finnish woman and she'll say like Joshua.
Nice, yeah.
And I know she's about ready to scold me for something.
Sure. Kind of a funny story. Let me kind of just tell the listeners how I came across you and where we were introduced. Now, I cannot remember, and I dug through my notes to try to find what podcast I was listening to, but I remember listening to you on a podcast talk about this machine, the system that you had built. And you were talking about how every $200 that you put into this machine, you were getting something like $4,000 to $6,000 out of it, this machine being your business, right? And so as I'm listening to you talk through this, I damn near fell on the floor. And at the back half of the podcast, you start saying, well, I'm right now, I have something like a 20% close rate. And this could be much better, but I'm trying to tune my follow-up. And, you know, I have so much coming into the top of the funnel, so much demand that if someone doesn't say yes in the first or second call, if they're not showing interest, they kind of fall off the map and I don't have a very good follow-up process. And
oh, I do now.
Yeah. So I listened to you talk about this and I'm like, man, that me coming from a sales guy, let me help this man. And so I reached out to you and I do not help. I do not consult. I'm just a sales guy, account executive, but I just loved your business so much and what you were preaching and what you were trying to position. I reached out and said, man, let me help you. And unfortunately, I was too late to the party because you had already tightened up that process and you're crushing the back half of the sales cycle now. And I'm excited to hear more about that, but you politely told me no. And since then, I've been following your journey and I'm a huge fan. Man, I love what you have going on.
No, thanks, Josh. I appreciate that. Yeah. Very kind words. Very, very kind words. Now I have to deliver. So now everyone's curiosity is piqued.
Exactly.
What is this guy going to talk about? It better be good.
Let's go there, man. For the folks that have not tried to pitch you yet or listen to you on another podcast, I'm asking for the long version of your story here. I mean, talk somewhere pre-savings angel and work us up to where you're at today.
Yeah, well, originally, like straight out of high school, I joined the United States Navy for 5 years, was a Navy journalist, actually met, you remember the movie Good Morning Vietnam with Robin Williams?
Of course.
Yeah. So it's based on Adrian Cronauer, who I got to meet, spoke to our class. He actually came to DINFOS, Defense Information School, and spoke to us. Very, very outspoken, not as funny, you know, as Robin Williams, but he really inspired and really gave me such great counsel that I've used my entire life. And that is just the sacred opportunity of serving audiences and what a noble pursuit it is. And regardless of who your chain of command is or who your boss is, the audience is always number one. So if you remember the movie, this is one thing that he kind of got himself in trouble with his chain of command is he said, you know, I can't lie. And that's the thing too, is you cannot lie to audiences, especially today. Consumers have never been more skeptical, analytical. Like we can tell when an influencer is lying to us. We can tell when an influencer is just has some collab deal or some kind of money-making thing that they start going into. We can tell, like they're doing it just to get paid. Like we know what's going on. Like you could tell, like when you're watching reality TV and someone's just being kind of a fake and a phony or whatever. Like we just don't like those type of people. So anyway, that what he said way back when, this is the early 90s when I got to meet him, shake his hand and all that stuff. And, you know, it really lasted with me. And I knew that authenticity was the way to go. Always, even if it's uncomfortable, is just be honest and, you know, kind of serve with integrity. So out of that, I went to school to study family therapy because I wanted to be a love doctor on the radio, got sidetracked with internet development. And that's the path that I took. Worked in corporate America for about 3 years, hated it. Even though I did a great job, it's just like, I'm just not a good employee. So I started a string of businesses. The first six failed and I legitimately mean six failures in a row. Now, some of them were more spectacular than others, you know, lost a home to foreclosure, bankruptcy, went through all of that stuff. And it really hardened me up and it helped me become who I needed to be so that ultimately my seventh business venture, I went on to create well more than $6 million in revenue with $0 in ads spent. It was all from just serving audiences. That was Savings Angel, which I launched at the very beginning of 2007. So now up my influence, I launched this company about 7 years ago, I believe. And, you know, it's such a joy because I get to work with other business owners. I get to help them solve, I think, the biggest problem that we all have. And it's like, how do I create systems that allow me to build meaningful relationships with the people ultimately that I'm going to do business with? Now, I don't really help a whole lot with the one-to-many type stuff, but if you're selling individual, like let's say you're an agency or a consultant or whatever, and you sell higher ticket stuff, you know, you have customers that way. I mean, if you're selling a $10 a month thing, I don't really, I mean, I could say give you some good ideas, but it's not That's not my zone of genius. My zone of genius is if you sell $5,000 to $25,000 product, I can help you sell lots of those things. Mm. And it's really not that hard. It's really not that difficult. Most marketers screw it all up for us, and we'll get into that.
Yeah. Yeah. And great, great overview. Thank you for that. The one thing I wanted to maybe circle back on and touch on really quickly, which I kind of smile at, your initial goal as you left the Navy, you wanted to be a love doctor.
Yeah.
It makes a ton of sense. I'm smiling because the first question I wanted to ask you is, if research serves me right, you have been married a little over 25 years now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Met your wife and married her in the first 20 days.
Well, we got engaged after knowing each other 20 days. Yeah.
Maybe that's a question. I've been in cybersecurity for 6 years now. My average close, my sales cycle is about 80 days. So my first question, how in the hell do you close a deal? That's 20 days. Oh. That's great.
Well, okay. Now, not only that, but I have to tell you that when I met the girl that would be going to become, I say girl because she was 19 years old at the time. So we met, I was stationed in Hawaii at the time, and we met at a luau, and I talked to her on the phone. And one of the first things that she told me, she goes, I need to tell you that I've got a boyfriend. And I said, that's okay. That's okay. We're just chatting. And that's the first, I think that's the first lesson is, objections are good. Like, we love objections. Now, ultimately, it may or may not be a fit, right? And that's the truth that we want to get to. But objections are helpful when someone tells you what their objection is, because that's what you need to solve for. And if you can't solve for it, you can't solve for it. But if you can, and you've got a great answer for that, you just like, you know, like for me, like, that's okay. Like, you know, the jury's not out yet. Yeah. Like, we'll see how this progresses. But, you know, people love working with someone who has confidence, who can lead, who can solve big problems, right? And we generally in business, you are paid in, there's a correlation between the amount you're paid and the size of the problems that you solve. So in this case, it's very important that we lead in a relationship. Now, that does not mean, however, that we're pushy. You cannot be manipulative, because if you try those old school sales tactics, you are going to fall on your face and people are going to hate you, right? So how can you set up the system so that it feels like it's your client's idea every step of the way? And so the way to do it, honestly, I think the best book written on this subject is by Bob Berg, Go Givers, Sell More. It nails it, because people don't mind, people like buying. We love buying things when we know that it's going to make our life better. So there's not an objection to buying. Is there enough value in this investment? And that's what you have to solve. And also beyond that, and I'd say more important, fundamentally more important, is do I trust? Do I like this person? Because every sale is human to human. Mm. People don't buy brands. They don't buy products. They don't buy services. They buy you. Do they believe that you can help them solve this problem? And either that's a yes or a no. And when you're early stage and you're just starting off, I'll just be frank with you. It's a little bit harder. Well, it's a lot bit harder, because you don't have the validation kind of blazing a trail for you. So it's easier for me today, because I have a lot of happy clients that I can say, well, talk to Lynn, talk to this guy, talk to this gal, right? And I can make those referrals and they'll say, yeah, working with Josh and his team is pretty great. And so then it's like, in our mind, oftentimes we don't really want to know, like, there's the logical reasons for buying now. There's the emotional reasons for buying now. Emotional reasons for buying now is generally always the first thing that happens for people. Tony Robbins talks about this. I've done some speaking for the Tony Robbins organization. And I know, like, in his Business Mastery, he talks about urban and lurban, emotional reasons for buying now. Great example would be, I remember when the iPad Pro came out and I was using just like a regular iPad. And I remember using these crappy stylus and it was terrible. Like, it didn't work. You can't write with this. You can't use it to take notes, because it just, like, the handwriting was just like ridiculous, right? And I saw someone sitting in front of me at a Tony Robbins event, in fact, and they had the iPad Pro. And so emotionally, here's what I was going through my brain. Oh, hey, wait a minute. They're probably successful in business. I'm successful in business. They have an iPad Pro. I should have an iPad Pro. So emotionally, I was already convinced that I wanted that in my life. You know, was it going to make my life better? Yeah, probably a little bit, right? But then I said, well, to justify this emotional decision, I better back it up with some. So then I start going through and learning all about the specs and the differences and the technical differences between iPad Pro.
Yeah.
And then I said, okay, I have enough evidence to back up this purchase decision. So at the very least, you know, I could let my wife know that, you know, I've done my homework and these are the logical reasons why I need this in my life. But mainly it was emotional.
Yeah, you're just giggling. I mean, you talk through, I mean, that's a lengthy answer. It almost took you that long to convince her to fall in love with you, man. Like you did all.
No, it was 20 days of whirlwind romance in the Hawaiian Islands.
There we go.
It's the kind of thing that I think that you'd write a bodice ripper shirt about, or, you know, a bodice ripper, you know, romance novel about. It was definitely pretty awesome.
Maybe that's an income stream, man.
Yeah. I'll do it in audiobook format. Sexy, sultry. It was the day that I was going to be taking her to the airport. She had extended her vacation an extra couple of weeks in order to spend more time with me. But yeah, so I was getting ready to take her to the airport. And that's how I cannot let this girl get away. Mm. And like, I've never been interested in marriage before. So I went, and here I am again, 22 years old and, you know, just kids.
Yeah, man.
You know, when you know, you know. So yeah, we got engaged and I still had 1 year left in the Navy. So I was out in the Aleutian Islands. So we spent that first year of engagement separated, you know, just on the phone. And we had $300-$400 phone bills every month.
Yeah.
Back in the day, kids.
Yeah, right.
When there was such thing as long distance and there was no, you know, everything you could do online.
You mentioned in the overview there, your first 5, 6, 7 businesses, we're not going to call them, we'll call them failures. That's what we'll call them.
Yeah. I mean, ultimately there was an exit and some, like I said, some were pretty bad.
Sure.
Pretty crappy to deal with.
If my homework does me right, the two successes, the big ones, the ones that we're circling and talking about today, came from scratching your own itch. There was a problem that you had that you set out to solve. I want to sort of segue that and ask you, can you share a little bit about Savings Angel and how you founded the business, what you guys do, how you make money, all that good stuff?
Yeah. So previous to Savings Angel, I was working primarily in kind of a commission situation where I was doing internet marketing, but I had to, you know, I had to catch my own meal every day if I wanted to eat. And it was a lot of stress. My income was, you know, it was quite variable. Some months were pretty good. Some months were pretty horrible. So I got very defensive around my own budget. And I finally came across like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace University. I got to tell you, like today, not a huge Dave Ramsey fan, but back then it was perfect for me. And so, you know, going through and learning about a spending plan. And I remember, you know, asking my wife, you know, as I'm going through, I'm like, well, how much do we spend in a month? You know, because our income varies, but our expenses, there's those fixed expenses and they're rough. And I asked her, I said, you know, we've got 3 kids at the time, all young kids. And I said, how much do we spend at the grocery store a month? Like maybe like $300. And she's like, are you kidding? We spend like $800. And like, if I were drinking coffee at the time, I would have done the, you know, yeah, what? Sure. It was really, I couldn't believe $800. And I thought, that is a big ticket item. You know, we start doing the math on that. And over the course of a year, 800 times 12, that's nearly $10,000 a year. I'm like, listen, I have heard of people being able to cut their grocery bill in half. I don't know how they do it, but I'm going to study this. I'm going to learn this. And so I read all the books I could get my hands on and come to find out that there's a couple ways you could do this. Number one, you could grow all your own food. Right. I don't know if you remember that old, you know, grocery stores hate this man, you know, because he, you know, figured out how it's, you know, you could plant all your own food. That's, by the way, if you want to know what was that ad, it's just like, you start a garden. Oh, great. Genius idea.
Yeah, thanks.
No wonder grocery stores hate him. But that's one option. I had tried that a little bit. I was very unsuccessful. Certainly wasn't about to raise chickens or any of that sort of thing. But that is an option. That's one way you could do it. The other way is you have to understand that when it comes to consumables, the things you buy all the time, prices, for whatever reason, fluctuate wildly. The price of a box of cereal could be $5 one week. It could be $1.75 the next week. That's just weird, right? But you can use that to your advantage, right? And also, when you stack coupons on top of that, now we're really talking about some serious savings. So let's say that $5 box of cereal goes on sale for $1.75. Now you got a $1 coupon. Now you're getting your box of Cheerios for 75 cents a box instead of $5. Well, if you multiply that kind of savings across everything that you buy, guess what? You are now, instead of paying $800 a month, now you really are paying $250, $300 a month. And if I could help people save, you know, $400 or $500 a month off their grocery bill every single month, would that be valuable? I think so. Would people be willing to pay me $20 a month in order to be able to provide that every single week? And that's essentially what Savings Angel was. So we had a good run, you know, in terms of like that paid service, especially as we hit extreme couponing and that became a thing.
Yeah.
Oh man, we had, it was crazy. I mean, when you go from not being able to pay your heating bill to having a six-figure month, it's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
And so I'm grateful that I got to experience that because it really impacted my belief in what's possible. And a lot of times, you know, it's like, you know, it's like that 4 minute mile, Roger Bannister, right? Mm. It's like, as soon as he ran the 4 minute mile, well, all of a sudden, you know, 4 minute mile is kind of like the thing, like all of a sudden everybody, because we knew it was possible, you know, before Roger Bannister ran the 4 minute mile, we thought, oh, the human bones would start breaking and stuff like that. The human body just can't take it.
Yeah.
No. He did it. He survived. And then all of a sudden people were like, I got to stretch harder so that I can get there. Mm. Well, you know, now it's like when someone makes seven figures, chances are they're going to keep making it. Like they've already made it. Their belief is already there. So yeah, so that was really helpful because, you know, it wasn't easy then as extreme couponing started dying off. And then there was a real kind of anti-consumer sentiment against coupons. I had already been doing consulting work on the side. So, you know, it's like someone who's done something like that, it was an easy step over to our new company, Up My Influence, new six, seven years old.
But, sure.
You know.
Yeah. And when you started this, and again, you mentioned this in your overview, but when you started the business, you had virtually no excess or extra capital. I had Dylan Oglein, who he ran a seven-figure agency with seven clients. He's running ads for folks, and he called it lean and scrappy mode. It's like when you're getting started, he had no website, no, I'm just grinding right now. And it sounded like you're in the same boat, and that when you push that green button, your launch day, you had very little excess or extra capital to spend on PR, marketing, zero capital to spend on marketing and PR and coverage. Yet on launch day, you had, and I'm looking down at my notes now, it was 18 news media outlets cover you. You had pitched yourself to 20, 18 accepted you and willing to support you, sponsor you, all that on launch day. You went from zero to $1 million with no ads. I mean, can you share a little bit about how you set up this launch and how you got this coverage? I mean, what did that relationship look like? How'd you get that going?
Yeah. You know, Josh, what I love about your podcast is you do such great homework. Mm. It's serious. I do a couple of podcast interviews every single week. I just want to compliment you before I answer that question. Like, it's just, I really, really appreciate it. So to our listener, as you're listening to this right now, you found a good one. I just got to tell you that from guest perspective, keep on listening. It's, Josh, you do great work. Yes. So here's what happened. We started reaching out to media outlets. And because I had a background in media, it wasn't that I was talented at it. It's that I knew that it was a possibility. And I'm like, man, I'm familiar with that world. I know that, you know, how we interview and pick experts and stuff like that. Mm. And so because of that, I had the confidence. So I reached out to every ad mag. I mean, it went everything from TV stations to newspapers to radio, a lot of radio stations, and even like ad magazines, like whatever I could, like anybody who had an audience. And this was all offline stuff, because we're talking the beginning of 2007, like Facebook was like just still in the EDU phase back then. So yeah, so I would sit down with them. I said, listen, I would love to advertise. I don't have a budget, but what I do have is a background in producing great content. And maybe we could do that and we could try it out. If you like it and it's great, would certainly love to be invited back. If not, that's totally fine. And with the ad magazines and stuff, I actually reached out and asked for remnant space. because I knew that was a thing. Mm. One of my failed businesses is I owned a small town newspaper. I started a small town newspaper, for whatever reason. It was a bad business, horrible business. Don't do that, kids. Yes, but I knew that there was a such thing as remnant space. Hey, if you ever have a, you know, an issue that's going live and you got to fill a quarter page, I'm going to give you all the ad, you know, the ad stuff ready to go, the assets ready to go. And we're just going to use this affiliate code. And if they do that, then I'll do a rev share with you. So I ended up getting a ton of free advertising as a result of that. Radio, same deal. I said, let's send them to the station website and we're going to put the affiliate link there. I mean, I'd share, you know, the $20 a month, I'd share $5 with them. Mm. And that's how we did it. So, you know, we're paying some affiliate money. So technically you could say that's ad, but really it was just 100% performance.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pay anything up front. That's for sure.
That affiliate model, even then you're splitting. I mean, that's yours and mine, right? Like you're, it's just a shared model like you described. The question I wanted to follow this up with, and I think you may have answered this, but I wanted to ask you, why is this relevant, right? Like there are lots of areas, lots of places you could spend your time, your expertise and pre-launch, try to get things ready, partnerships and products and all these other things. And you made a really big push with media. I've had freelancers in the past talk about this backlinking strategy and trying to build more domain authority or SEO purposes. You mentioned most of the stuff that you're doing here, this is offline work, right? So it sounds like this is more hearsay and you're trying to just build brand presence.
Yeah.
What are you shooting for there? What is the end goal as you chase those media opportunities?
Yeah, exposure is everything, right? So without exposure, you can have the best service in the world, but if people don't know about it, you're not going to get, there's a couple of problems with that. Number one, you're not going to get any customers because no one's going to know about you. But number two, and this is really important, is that you're not getting enough data. The product that you offer today is likely not going to be the product that you offer a year from now. Mm. And the only way to evolve and evolve quickly is you need a lot of market data because, Josh, the market is smarter than you and I. So it's just a myth. Right. You know, there's like, oh, Steve Jobs would tell the market what, you know, what they wanted before. That's not entirely true. Mm. Like it's ultimately you got to test stuff. You got to validate stuff. And the only way to do that is you got to talk with a lot of people and ask them, just say, here's what I can do. Would this be valuable to you? Well, yeah, but I'd much rather have it like this. Right. And so like our offer today with my influence, I'm sure we'll talk about this in a little bit, is we used to charge, like you'd pay us $25,000. We would build a B2B sales system for you that would guarantee perform, right? We would work with you all the way up till you earned your $25,000 back. Now we don't even charge the $25,000. Now, if we love what you have to offer, then we'll do it completely performance-based. In other words, you don't have to pay us. Well, I shouldn't say you don't have to pay us. Like you'll pay a little bit upfront to at least cover some of the hard costs, but that's it, right? Everything else is based on rev share. It's a joint venture rev share model. If you've got a high ticket offer, got decent authority, and you know otherwise seems like a good culture fit. Now, we got to that model only because we chatted with, you know, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people, and it seemed like every few weeks I was fine-tuning our offer a little bit. Am I comfortable with this amount of risk? Well, I don't even have to extend that risk. People really want me to extend this risk. Oh, well, actually, that's a little bit easier. And so adjusting the pricing, adjusting the product, how you fulfill it, you know, how you get better at that sort of thing. You have to talk to a lot of people in order to refine that product down. Now, once you dial it in, now you have a machine, right? So when people hear my offer right now, the people that we want to work with, like it's, you know, about 80% of people I talk with who I say, yeah, I think this would actually be a good fit for us. They're in. They're like, but that said, you know, it's fun because if you can also play with your pricing and stuff so you can design it so that you have some skin in the game. Now, instead of you having to sell everybody, it's just does it make sense for us to work together?
Yeah.
You got to figure out how you could fulfill on that. But most people are not willing to because they're afraid of risk. If your stuff is really as good as it is, then you shouldn't be afraid of risk. And if it's not as good, then you need to work on product refinement. You need to make it better so that you can truly fulfill on serving other people.
This is the third, fourth answer where I've heard you talk about systems and processes. This is something that you're a master at. And actually, I read that as you got Savings Angel off the ground and it started to really boom, we talked about the initial launch strategy and trying to get that initial coverage. I read that you kept media relations in the driver's seat and you had built processes around you, hired great people, given them the responsibilities they deserve that they can handle, to where when a potential media opportunity crossed your plate, came across where you could strike at it, you would drop everything that you're doing as the founder, the guy, the brand, and chase that media opportunity, right? And give them all of your attention, write that, whatever they're asking for immediately. But they almost took priority and you had built this system around you where the ship could stay on course and you could go chase these media opportunities. Can you talk a little bit about this system, this engine you built?
Yeah, right. So, you know, and this really gets back to Michael Gerber Emuth stuff, right? As the CEO of the organization, what's your job? You got one job and your job is to grow that company, which means you need to be the face of that company. You got to get out from hiding behind your computer screen. You know, you can do that up to a point and then you're going to start bumping up against this ceiling and you're going to say, well, what's going on? I don't get it. It's because people want to do business with people. And so as the founder CEO, look, it's going to be you. Or you got to pay someone really, really well to be that face of the company. But, you know, so that's when I developed relationships, primarily again with media, is I wanted to let them know, listen, if you ever have an opportunity where you need someone who's an expert in this, okay, here's my personal number, text me, call me, email me, however you want to get a hold of me, and I will drop everything I'm doing. And I will help you.
That's what I was going to ask you, Josh. Were you keeping your thumb on like a Haro, like just some sort of feed and you're, hey, I could answer that. Let me jump on it. Or were your relationships so tight that these reporters, these folks that needed content were just reaching out to you directly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it took some time to build up those relationships.
Sure.
You know, it's like, where do relationships come from and how do we earn relationships, which is a big part of how up my influence, like how are we able to facilitate 5 to 10 introductions for our partners every single week? It's because of relationships. And you can't rush relationships from the other person's perspective. You develop processes and systems to facilitate lots of them. And you facilitate, you know, making it ridiculously easy for people to get to know you. And that's about the best thing that you could do. Because in business, we'd all love this make friends button and everybody would instantly love us. It takes some time. It really does. So in terms of the media, I would offer, I remember like our local CBS affiliate. So all told in the media, easily well more than 2,000 media appearances over the past 14 years I've done. Our CBS affiliate is a great example. So I've been doing stuff with Fox, you know, producing local content. So the CBS affiliate, one of the reporters said, hey, I saw your consumer guy. I'm doing this story on a Ford recall because the doors are opening up when they shouldn't be opening up when people are cruising down the highway. Can you help me out with this story? Well, I have nothing to gain from helping out with that story. Like it's not in brand alignment.
Yeah.
Savings Angel or Up My Influence or whatever I'm doing, but I do it anyway. And the reason I do that is because this is an opportunity for the reporter and I to work together. Now, once you do a story with a reporter, generally they're going to remember you, especially if you're not there. And this is, again, this is where most sales and marketing people screw this up, is they always want to, you know, just like sell their thing. Like, especially at the beginning. You got to chill out on that. Like if the reporter feels like you're there just to pitch your thing, forget it. Like they're going to be really annoyed with that and they're not going to ask you back.
Yeah.
So instead, I would much rather do 20 media segments where I get my source. You know, it's like Josh Ellich from savingsangel.com. Thanks so much. Josh, tell us where people can find you. Well, you can find me on the web at savingsangel.com. Lots of savings, one angel. That's me. Right. And you develop some kind of thing so people remember it. So, but yeah, I would much rather do 20 of those where I get one of those rather than go, you know, where I kind of work in like, well, savingsangels.com where you can cut your grocery bill in half, blah, 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 blah. You know, it's like, and in an answer, like that's just slimy. That's like the book author that says, you know, on page 72 of my new book, You Too Can Be a Winner. You'll find the 5 golden secrets to blah, blah, blah. Like if you do that, not only is the reporter going to hate you, the audience is going to hate you. Everybody is going to be like, get out of here with that. Just, you know, just show me some faith, show some trust in me. And that's, I think a lot of marketers, particularly in the sales funnels world, really have a lot of antipathy for their audiences because they don't show a lot of trust. They say, oh, you want that white paper, do you? Well, you're going to have to give me your email address first. Oh, you want this video, this 3 videos, huh? Well, you're going to have to pay me $5.99 first. It's like, how slimy can you be, right? It's like, I know you get to value your stuff, but gosh darn it. Would you make it much easier for people to get to know you, right? Give it away for free. This blows people's mind, but like when I give stuff away, like I've got a 4 video series. I'm not selling anything at the end of the 4th video. Why am I doing that? I don't require an opt-in. It's like, come on in, watch it for free. 1 click, you can start watching. I don't even need to know you're there. That shows trust. And when people see that you trust them, then you're going to do many, many more sales. Can I tell you how I would just absolutely kill it in the landscaping business?
Please.
Or like say lawn care business. I would go door to door and I would say, hey, I was just treating your neighbor's lawn and I noticed you had this patch of ragweed up here. Listen, I'm a total lawn geek. I'm going to treat it right now and I'm going to show you exactly what to buy so that you can take care of this yourself. You don't need to pay me. You don't need to hire me. I'm just a total nerd when it comes to this stuff. Let me show you this real quick, right? And then he just takes care of it. I would be like, who do I make the check to? Like, did it cost that person any more money? Not really. Probably not. Instead of like running around putting door hangers on people's door about here's our pricing and blah, blah, blah. It's like, you know, stop. If you understand consumer behavior, it is going to unlock the door to success for you. Most marketers sell for themselves. They sell about what they want, and they're not giving what consumers actually want. Another really good book is Marketing Rebellion by Mark Schaefer. And he talks about, you know, where consumers' brains are at today. And big companies know this. And so if you're still running around, sell, yeah, good luck. You know what you're experiencing right now. And it's a lot of stagnation and frustration because it ain't working.
You've become an expert at maximizing free publicity, at building relationships. I'm looking at my time. I know I've got maybe 15-ish minutes to cover the up my influence piece of this. And I definitely want
good luck.
To. Yeah. Let me take off sprinting. I guess 1 quick pass here. Can you just talk to me? We mentioned early on the 2 big successes you've found have come from scratching your own itch. We've talked about the savings angel piece. Talk to me about this. Where does this come from? What are you solving?
Yeah. So initially with Up My Influence, you know, it was that, listen, I figured out how to get tons of free media coverage. And I started doing pro bono work in our local startup community. I'm working with veteran-owned companies, minority women-owned businesses, and just like serving on boards, doing free workshops, panels, you know, just anything I could. And I believe that that should be a mandate for anybody in business is find a way to do charitable work on the regular. Because not only will it make you feel good about yourself, not only will you be doing good in your local community or however, okay, but you will get business from it. You will absolutely get, and it's not the people that you're serving. Like you're there to just like, don't try to sell to them. They don't have the money. They're too early stage. Just be there to help. But it's the people that you're serving with. That's who you're going to be doing business with. So by all means, get out there and do good stuff. So it was doing that while I was, you know, Savings Angel was kind of humming along and I'm like, hey, I'm going to start doing this good stuff because it's the right thing to do. And then that led to great opportunities with other people in our local community. And people were like, hey, can I just hire you for this? Like, you're really good at getting in the media. I'm like, yeah, sure, I guess. And so that's what led to then Up My Influence because I got too busy with that. I'm like, I can't do this by myself. And so that I started bringing team members. I said, hey, I know we had a good thing going over with Savings Angel, but come on over to Up My Influence. And so I started recruiting all my own employees for my new company. And yeah, and then we just got busier and busier and busier. But along the way, and it was, like, I want to say early beginning of 2019, when We said, listen, we're doing good business, but most of our business is coming through word of mouth. And it's not growing as fast as I'd like to. Like, it's good. We have amazing clients, but I'd like to be getting a lot more. Tried advertising, horrible failure. When it comes to selling higher ticket services, it's just not a fit, in my opinion. So instead, what we did is we really opened up our podcast. And I said, listen, we used The Thoughtful Entrepreneur, which is a daily podcast. And we started reaching out to our dream ideal guests, our dream ideal clients. I said, we'd love to feature you. We'd love to celebrate you. And ultimately, what's our big hope here is that they would just get to know us. We would get to know them and maybe we might do business together. So initially it was scary because we're like, well, this is going to be a lot more operating costs in order to do this. So, you know, here I am dumping a couple of $1,000s into labor to produce all these extra podcasts. And initially it was like, okay, we picked up another sale here. Maybe this will work. And then by the time the second, third, fourth month rolled around, it's like, whoa, this is actually starting to work. So we were doing that for quite a while. We had one of our clients who we were doing media work for, and she said, you know, hey, Josh, the media stuff's pretty good and all, but I know what you guys are doing on the sales stuff over there. Why don't you do that for me? And so, okay, sure, we'll help you out. So we kind of built this whole system for her. And again, we leveraged platform, leveraged her existing authority. And she ended up making $175,000 in 90 days. And I thought, damn. Yeah. And then we did the same thing for one of her clients. And the same thing, $100,000 about $100,000 in 90 days. Third client we tried this with, got more business he could possibly handle inside of about 45 days. And he's like, I got to hire more attorneys. This is incredible. And so as you could see, this is another one of these situations. And when you're in the game, okay, what you do 5 years from now may not be what you're doing now today. And that's okay. Like, because you're always listening, right? When the market says, hey, can you help me with this? And I was going to say, don't always say yes to that. Like, I had one guy who's like messaged me because I posted about how much I love Zapier, you know, kind of a Zapier geek. And he goes, hey, can you help me with my Zapier? I'm like, nope. Yeah. $10 an hour guy is on Upwork that would be thrilled to help you out with. Yes, I know that, but that's not the future that I want. And again, you know, keep in mind, like, what's the most valuable thing that you do right now? What's the biggest problem and the most expensive problem that you can solve for somebody right now? And man, if you can do that, it's a good living.
The process that you follow today, just so I can sort of paint this picture for the listeners, and maybe you keep me honest, but you've opened up your podcast to where you and your team are building a list of what your perfect prospect, your perfect customer would look like. Then you guys are reaching out, you're offering a spot on the podcast. Listen, we've got tons of listeners, lots of followers. We'd love to promote your content, blah, blah, blah. Are you tagging that podcast? Do they know that they're walking into a sales call, more or less?
Well, it's not a sales call. This is the thing that's really, really important, right? Because you cannot bastardize this system. If you bastardize this system, it's just people are going to really dislike you for doing that. So it's really critical that at no point should anyone ever feel sold to. What that means is you've got to have the courage on the back end to just trust humans and just trust, again, a la Bob Berg, the Go-Giver, right? If you read any of them, read Go-Givers Sell More is my favorite of his 4-book series on that. You just have to trust that not everybody wants to buy your thing. And you got to be totally cool with that, right? Matter of fact, the vast majority are probably not. You know, for us, you know, we count on 80% of people is not a fit. And we are totally cool with that. So what I want to do is I want to learn more about them. I want them to learn what we do. In many ways, it's kind of like when you meet someone at a conference and you start talking just, you know, real briefly about, well, what do you do? Oh, interesting. And you exchange cards, right? You're like, well, let's chat next week and see if there's something we should be doing. That's the vibe of this call. Okay. Was exchanging cards and saying, well, let's grab 30 minutes. Was that a sales call? It might be. It probably won't be.
Right.
And you got to be cool with that. Right. Most people's problem is they feel like they have to sell everybody. Amateurs convince, leaders sort. And when I don't say it, once he sort, right, you're just allowing what's the natural outcome of two people to happen. And that's what this really is. So, in terms of sales, Like what you're doing is you want to inform people, you want to explore, but if someone not feeling it, that's totally okay. Like, how else can I help you? Like, you know, and there's a lot of times I'll talk to people and I would say 30% of people I talk with right out of the gate, like, I'm going to say, well, this doesn't, I don't think this is really a fit for us, but I'll share with you kind of what we do. And they'll say, but you know, someone that, you know, again, generally a six-figure consultant, high authority, great culture in terms of a give first relationship. Those are kind of people that we're looking to work with. And, you know, if you know someone like that, you know, listen, we'll send them to our podcast. We'd love to feature them. And if ultimately makes sense for us to work together, cool. If not, I'm okay with that. And I hope you can sense the difference in what I'm saying, as opposed to what most desperate business owners, the language that they use.
Totally. Yeah. Yours is a at the bar chat.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And if at 20, 30 minutes in, you guys feel some synergy and you start to realize, man, I kind of like this guy a little bit. What do you do again? And that you start to, I mean, there's a different type of cadence there and definitely a different type of relationship at the other end of that.
Yes. Now, if they share a buying signal, and if they're like, wow, this looks like this could be pretty great, then you better believe I am going to lead in that relationship.
Totally.
Because they said, I'm interested. And I would expect that they would do the same thing if I said, SEO, man, I could really use a strategist right now. I hope that they would lead in that relationship because I've never bought their thing before. I don't know how that's done. I need to count on them to let me know how that is done. And when I'm focused on tyranny, the urgent, and I'm just busy doing my thing, I need them to remind me that, hey, you know, for us to do this work, here would be our next steps. I do that all the time. Like I've got a consultant right now. I know he's waiting on me for some stuff, you know, and I'm being my own not ideal client because I'm like making him wait on some things, but that happens. And so when people ghost you, usually it's not because they don't like you. Usually it's because they're just real busy in the tyranny of the urgent, like which we all suffer with, you know, from. It's just not that urgent for me to solve that problem with you, Josh. So don't take offense to that. But when we keep stacking positive associations, people will see how this is going to make their life better. And by the way, like if you want to see my whole breakdown, I think I've got like a 25-minute video where I explain this, like I explain everything. And that's another thing too. Can you give everything away? So I tell people step by step by step by step how to DIY everything that we do.
Yeah.
And that takes a lot of guts too, because I don't sell to the DIY crowd. I sell to the people who are too busy to DIY. But because they see that I trust them so much, they're like, man, you just told me how to do everything. I'm like, yeah. And the reason I did that is because you can either go and do it yourself and you'll have me to thank, or you'll say, this sounds amazing. You know what you're talking about. Can you do this for me?
Yeah. Do you have time for one more question?
I better answer quickly.
Yeah. Okay. What I love most about your follow-up, or what I love most about your process, is your follow-up and your use of BombBomb. I've received a video myself from you and started to understand or learn more about, just in my research, the system you have on the back end and how it increased your productivity almost 70%. Less than 60 seconds here. Can you share just a little bit about BombBomb, the process behind it?
Right. So what we're talking about is a great tool. They're not the only player, like, but send video emails. I am a huge fan. You'll see this when you go to our website, www.upmyinfluence.com. You don't need to let me know you were there. You could just lurk around and you can see, holy crap, this guy loves short videos. I'm telling you, sending short videos, personal videos. Don't shortcut people. Write their name on a whiteboard. Spend the time to invest in people. They won't forget it. And though, you know, spend more time with fewer people and you'll make way more money.
Yeah. That's the video follow-up is something that I've taken from you that I'm going to start to implement myself. I think it's a powerful, powerful move. Josh, brother, I know you're up on time. You're back to back. I want to be very conscious of this. For the folks that love what you have going on, you mentioned you have lots of material at your website. I will support that. It's how I've studied. Where can the folks find you?
Yeah, just go to www.upmyinfluence.com. If you're doing six figures or more, guaranteed. You go straight to the front of the line, and I'd love to celebrate you on the Thoughtful Entrepreneur. It's a daily podcast. We're actually doing 2 episodes a day right now, believe it or not. If you're not quite at that level, you'll be there soon enough. Go watch my 4 video series of my Authority Transformation Masterclass. I've got downloads with all my favorite tools and free resources. It's free. You don't even have to give me your email address. I'll never know you were there, but I'm happy to serve. Yeah, we should be charging money. But again, I just don't sell to early stage entrepreneurs. I serve that audience and happy to do so.
Man, I really, really appreciate you doing this. I've been chasing you for a while. I believe it's almost a year, man. So this has been a long time coming and well worth the wait. For the listeners, thank you all for tuning in. I'm extremely grateful for your continued support, the growth, the engagement. As always, everything that we've discussed, resources, links, that'll all be at my website in the show notes, a full transcript as well. And that's all I have for you folks. I hope you all have a great week. And until next episode, stay on your grind.
First and foremost, I am so thankful for Josh, his time, his energy here on the podcast this afternoon. I've spent more than a year chasing down this podcast or this interview, and now you guys know why I refuse to let up and why I had to have him on the show. This man has tapped into something seriously special, not because either successful business venture that we talked about today is new or because it's different, but because everything that he does so to maximize his own skill set for the other person. He spent most of the episode today talking through how he found success because he was thinking of others first. He talked about doing free panels, charity work, promotions. He talked about how he was thinking of the media and those relationships first once his business was off the ground. And he had built standard operating procedures for those around him and prioritized the media relationships. Today, he's running that podcast and he puts the guest first of his podcast, promoting each episode as loud as he can, no matter if it's a customer or if it's just a great conversation. As always, I have loads of notes that I've taken away from this episode. I think I pulled 12 audiograms, clips that I'm going to share on social media. If you listen to any of my early episodes, you would know that I would read my handout, my notes, verbatim to you. But we've matured, we've grown over the last year or so, and I now have a PDF that I send out to my listeners. I personally use this PDF to reflect back on the episodes. I'll grab pieces that I have for upcoming guests or for conversations I'm having offline and some of these, you know, quote unquote consulting gigs that I've been getting into. And I'll pull some information around franchising or podcasting or marketing. But I'm now sending this out to the listeners so you guys can reflect on an episode or have something to just kind of keep and use if ever necessary, or if you want to just keep something in your pocket. You can grab that, my contact information, or reach out to me at roadstowealth.com. Thank you all for tuning in this week. If you've enjoyed the episode, please drop me a review on whatever platform you're listening to. I have a goal to hit 100 reviews by the end of the year. And that is all I have for you freaks. Until next week, hope you all have a great week. Give someone a hug and stay on your grind.
So smooth, you know what I'm saying? Cube One made the beat, by the way, just to let y'all know what's going on. Tell them, it's the road of the wealth, yeah, yeah. I do it for health, yeah, yeah. It's the road of the wealth, yeah, yeah. With my kids and my spouse, yeah, yeah. Sheesh. It's the road of the wealth, I do it for help, yeah. With my kids and my spouse, yeah. I'm financially sound, yeah, yeah. It's the road of the wealth, yeah. I do it for help, yeah. With my kids and my spouse, yeah. I'm financially sound, you the bad day. If life about purpose, it give you something to seek in. I've been setting cash goals, financially speaking. I've been finding blessings. Do all of these demons. I pray to God, I give you something to reach with.
See, I give you something to leave with. This life about goals and achievements. Your eyes on the prize, the head out your mind, and pray to whatever beliefs in. Teach on the way, know that the beach on the way. Gotta shine hard in the teacher's water. Know that little seed, they gon' grow tomorrow. So every day, gotta come with us. So to give you something to stand on. Make the farce off when you land raw. Make you put some new friends on. It's the road of the world. I do it for help, yeah. My kids and my spouse, yeah. I'm financially sound,
bad dad.
It's the road of the wealth, yeah. I do it for health, yeah. My kids and my spouse, yeah. I'm financially sound,
you the bad dad.
Thank you.